Start some trouble and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Change your mind.
Take a chance.
On the first in line.
Take a chance.
Honey, I'm still free.
Take a chance
on me. If you need me, let me know. Gonna be around. If you got no place to go when you're feeling down.
I do love this song. I don't know why. All right, the Take a Chance parlay. We just take three dogs, parlay them together. Nobody's hit so far. I'm going to go out there a little bit with this one. I got one in there that's a bit of an outlier here. But for the three underdogs here, I'm going to take the Eagles at the Saints. A bounce back spot for the Eagles. And just, are the Saints really this good? Are the Saints really this dynamic offensively? Like, I find it hard to believe. First of all, I think the coach is terrible. I think he's one of the worst head coaches in the NFL. And I don't trust Derek Carr in a big spot. And I think the Eagles are embarrassed and pissed off. I still think Nick Sirianni can be a bit of a clown. But I just have a feeling the Eagles, I think there's a very good chance the Eagles win this game. And I'm getting them plus 2.5, but I'm getting them at plus 128. I'll take the Eagles as one of them. I'll take the Bears as another against the Colts. The Colts defense stinks. And I think if Williams can just make plays a little bit. Their running game works. The defenses play well. And again, I just don't trust the Colts. I really don't. I don't trust that Colts defense. They have not looked good to me. So I'll take the Bears at plus 108, and they're a point and a half favorite. And then the other one, with Dalton starting Carolina. Carolina heading into the season was kind of the trendy pick from a lot of, you know, gamblers on being much better than they were last year. In fact, I've seen a lot of people who thought it was a smart bet to bet them to win the division. Now, obviously, they're benching Young. He's been awful. They're going to a veteran in Dalton. I think it could spark the team. And the Raiders coming off just an incredible victory. I don't know how good they are either with Minshew and that defense. They, you know, I thought they looked terrible against the Chargers. He coached scared, made poor decisions. I know, listen, they're rallying off of an improbable, incredible win against the Ravens, but I just think there's a weird chance that they would have a letdown after that game, and I think this Carolina team that a lot of people told me were better defensively, more talented overall, much better coach, like all that stuff that we were told, now they're benching the quarterback, which pretty much has been the problem. I have a feeling they might have a little of a bit of a bounce in their step, so I'll take Carolina at plus 205 as part of the Take a Chance parlay, and I'll tell you what those two guys, Fliegelman and Marco, had just real quick to go through their picks. Fliegelman, who's riding high, was at the Jet game last night, told me he's going to replay that game in his mind over and over again during the ceremony of a wedding that I'm sure he has no interest in being at. I shouldn't say that. Hopefully no one's listening to it. I don't want to blow up his spot. But all right, here we go. Fliegelman is taking the Giants at plus 6.5. He's a liar as well, because we both promised that we wouldn't take the Giants if they lost to Washington. Bunch of flip-floppers. He's going against me. He's taking the Packers at plus 2.5, and he's on us with the Ravens at minus 1.5. And he's taking the Bengals minus 7.5. His take a chance is the Packers, Cardinals, and Chargers. I like the Chargers pick. They got a chance to win the game. Marco, he's taking the Browns minus 6.5. He's taking the Bills minus 4.5. He's with them on the Bengals at 7.5. Chargers plus 1.5 at the Steelers. And the take-a-chance parlay, plus he's taking the Chargers over the Steelers, Cowboys over the Ravens, Cardinals over the Lions. I'll post that out because those two fine gentlemen were not here to give you their thought process. 888-808-1019. So let's get back to the story of the day, the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers, because last night was about as good a night as a Jet fan could have. I mean, if you were lucky enough to be at the game or if you were just watching on TV, you know, I talked a lot about the power of belief. I think to the point that I even heard Jerry Recco mock me once during the warm-up show. I said it a lot. I did. The power of belief that he's instilled in the organization and his teammates, that Aaron Rodgers has instilled in this franchise. Well, it finally came to fruition and instilled into the fan base, because watching that game, watching Aaron Rodgers on the home opener against a team that you have not beaten like this since 1995, a team that you have not been favored to beat like this Since 1999, a team that has owned you for a quarter of a century, and I know the coach isn't there, and I know the quarterback is not there. That doesn't matter. I mean, let's be honest. Look at the quarterback who's beaten you over the last handful of years. Mac Jones has taken it to you. So for Aaron Rodgers to finally have this moment, finally play in this building, finally get past four snaps and look like he did, which was far better than he looked in week one, far better than he looked in week two, to go up and down the field, to have these long, sustained drives, making plays, distributing the football all over the place, the tight end Conklin getting in the game, the passes to the running backs that have been dynamic in a tandem backfield between Allen and Breece Hall. Like, just spreading it around, moving outside the pocket, making throws on the run. You saw a Hall of Fame, four-time MVP quarterback lead the New York Jets up and down the field over the New England Patriots for a 3-touchdown victory on opening night, Thursday Night Football. That's as good a game, as good a moment as this Jet fan has, that these Jet fans could have had in years. I mean, that is a complete script changer on what we've seen. And now knowing, and that's forgetting the defense. The defense that had seven sacks, a defense that allowed no touchdowns. Rami gave me the stat earlier, 400 yards of offense, 40 minutes time of possession, no turnovers, zero touchdowns allowed. Win by 3 touchdowns. The first time in NFL history we've seen a dominant performance like that. I mean, this is unlike anything a Jet fan has seen in forever. And yeah, you know, will we probably overhype them now next week? Sure, probably. Does this mean they're ready to take on the Chiefs or any other competition the AFC can throw at them and they're ready for a Super Bowl run? No. But what it means is Rodgers is healthy and Rodgers is capable of playing like an MVP. This might have been better than anything we saw his final year in Green Bay. Right, that's how dynamic and good he looked and the different weapons he has and the defense in their 7 sacks and shutting down a Patriots running game. And I know the Patriots are terrible, but you know what? The Patriots showed spunk the first 2 games. They went out and ruined everybody's knockout pool, beating the Cincinnati Bengals week one. They forced overtime against the Seahawks in week two. They have not been... The worst team in football as they were perceived to be heading in. They just haven't been. And although they're not very good, and this is a game that should have went this way, it's still nice to finally see it. It's nice to finally have, since Aaron Rodgers came here, since he uttered those words of I intend to play and I intend to play for the Jets, it's been over a year. It's been a year and a half waiting for this moment. And to see it, to finally be able to see it and smell it and taste it and touch it and watch him play this way and watch a dominant performance and know that 2 scores up, much like he had that moment with his coach on the sidelines that we found out later was about the idea, hey, we're 2 scores up, go make it stick. You told me that's all you wanted for your defense. I gave it to you. Go make it stick. You know that this is the kind of team that can make it stick. That the Jets aren't just a team last night that won a game. They are a winning team. And that's what you are when you have a franchise quarterback. That's what you are when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback. That's what you are when you have an MVP quarterback. And the Jets have all of the above. And they put it all out there for display last night in an exhibition that we haven't seen from a Jet team in 50 years at the quarterback position. And it's an absolute game changer. And today, Jet fans are waking up. If you're not waking up now and you wake up in a few hours, you're going to turn on Boomer and Gio. You're going to turn on the warm-up show. Maybe you're up now turning on me. You're going to go to your podcast. You're going to go to ESPN. You're going to go to Jets.com and watch all the posts. You are going to consume as much Jet stuff as you can, as opposed to what typically happens when they play the Patriots, and you just forget about football until next Thursday. Like, you just want to hide from it. Not today. Today you want to embrace it. You want to go run to it. You want to try and consume everything you can. Because Aaron Rodgers makes the Jets a Super Bowl contender. And Aaron Rodgers showed he's healthy, he's capable, this team is capable. And sure, they still have some issues, no doubt. The coach is still an issue, right? The club, there were a lot of penalties in this game you got to clean up. The clock management at the end of the first half was not ideal. But ultimately, the question was answered on what kind of quarterback did they trade for and what kind of future can they have and where is their ceiling? Aaron Rodgers gives them as high a ceiling as you can have. And for one glorious night in beautiful new green and white uniforms, they gave you a performance and a game that a Jet fan hasn't had in forever. 888-808-1019. Great time to be a Jet fan. Great time to be a Met fan as well. They're the other story as they dominate the Phillies, score 10 runs for the third consecutive game. First time in franchise history they have done that. They continue to pitch extremely well. And they are still two games up over Atlanta, 9 games left to play. And whether it's, and I told you, to me, the Nimmo home run, after challenging the fans, after daring you to come out, after saying, where the hell are you? He had to put up a performance and to recapture the lead right away, to get the 2 early home runs from Vientos, who is waking up off of his 50-at-bat slumber, and Pete Alonso, who is hopefully here turning it on these last stretch of games heading into the postseason to save his season. After those 2 home runs to give you a lead, Turner hits the home run to tie the game, and there is Brandon Nimmo to reestablish the lead. And from that moment on, it felt like this game was the Mets. You get another home run from Alvarez, who hopefully is turning his lackluster offensive season around since the home run in Toronto. Like, every answer right now to every question is positive. Like, everyone. The rotation, the bullpen, the offense. Other than Lindor's back, there is not a single issue with this team. And plus, you got Acuna coming up to take over for Lindor, and you can't get him out. Right now, the Mets can do no wrong, and they have 9 games to make sure they get back into the postseason. And if they do, tell me another team who's more dangerous inside the National League right now than what the Mets look like. So it is a good time to be a Met fan. It's a good time to be a Jet fan. 888-808-1019. And hopefully, as long as Soto isn't hurt, not a bad time to be a Yankee fan. Craig in Matawan. What's up, Craig?
Hey, Chris. Love the show.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
Listen, I'm a Giant fan, but I got to agree with you with that caller. What is the fixation with some Giant fans with Jet fans or Jets, period?
I don't understand it. I don't get this. I'm a Giant fan. Maybe. I harbor exactly zero ill will for the Jets, and I wish them the best because I want to watch them. So I want I know I'm a, you know, talk show host or whatever, but like, even if I wasn't, you watch the Giants, you watch the Jets, you watch the Red Zone while you're not watching. Like, that's it. Like, I want to see good football around here. And they play once every 4 years. Why would you? I don't understand that a Jet fan wants to harbor ill will about the you know, the Victor Cruz game on Christmas Eve. Okay. But I mean, specifically Giants towards Jets, I don't know why a Giant fan would be pissed off other than they're stealing our shine. Like, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying, because I want to touch on that and then the Mets. First of all, they beat a team that beat 2 good teams. Like, Seattle's a decent team.
Yeah.
And also Cincinnati, we all know Joe Burrow, 3 years ago they won the Super Bowl. So you're not talking about them beating the Bears or maybe the Panthers. Right. New England, I mean.
Well, they did at lose. They didn't beat Seattle. They lost to Seattle, but they gave them a good game.
I know, but they
were right there with them. Yeah.
They right there. My point is, let the Jets should be celebrating the
fans. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, at the end of the day. Now, to get to the Mets, you know, a lot of people need to realize in the last 4 months, the Mets are 68-32.
Yeah.
They're the best team in baseball by far.
Since May 30th.
I mean, not by far, but, you know, in a technical sense, they're the best team in baseball.
They have been.
If I'm an American League team or National League team, I'll be honest, I don't want them making the playoffs, because that's the kind of lineup, and I've said it time after time on this show, that's the kind of lineup, and the Padres lineup is the lineup that wins a World Series, because there's no breathing room in between. If they get hot, you know, I know any team can get hot, I understand, but I wouldn't want that team in the playoffs, and I'm a Met fan. If I'm any of those other teams, I want no part of that team.
Who, the Padres?
Somebody else play them. No, the Mets.
Oh, no, yeah, all right, yeah. I thought you said if you're a Mets fan.
That's somebody. Oh, no.
No, I completely agree. Mets are dangerous. Mets right now, if Vientos is hitting and Nimmo is hitting, You're right. There's really no gap in that lineup. I mean, Iglesias has been great, but he's Iglesias. I mean, he's been great, though. So, and in many ways, me and Fliegelman were talking about this yesterday. In many ways, you could argue both the Mets and Yankees, but let's focus on the Mets for a second, had injuries that helped the team. Like losing Jeff McNeil, as great as he was in the second half, he started to cool off again. But I think Iglesias is on a run here with this team. And I think losing Jeff McNeil and solidifying Iglesias' spot is actually beneficial. I think it actually makes the Mets better. Because he's been unbelievable. He's better defensively. And he's got mojo going on right now. There's just something special about the guy. He's constantly getting on. He's constantly getting on base. He's constantly in the middle of things. You know, you have a runner on third and you can't get him in with one out. And with two outs, here comes Iglesias to hit one up the middle. Like, he's just been unbelievable. And I honestly think McNeil getting hurt helped solidify his role, put him as the second man, and that's it. And now he's the guy. And much like the DJ LeMahieu injury for the Yankees, whether it's real or made up, has helped them. Like, just bye-bye. But, I mean, what Taylor does when he plays, and now, you know, Marte's starting to come through. But to me, it's Vientos and Nimmo as the two guys where if they're going, because we've seen them on hot streaks. I mean, you could argue Vientos is the best offensive third baseman in the sport this year. And then Nimmo went through a stretch where he carried the team. And then went through a stretch where he was awful. If you have that hot Nimmo and Lindor comes back healthy, the lineup top to bottom is just nothing but good hitters. And then plus you have a rotation right now that's on fire. And you might be adding Kodai Senga to it. Yeah, they're dangerous. There is no doubt about it. They're dangerous. Pat and Suffren. What's up, Pat?
Good morning. How are you, Chris?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good, thanks. You know, I just had two real quick things. Bryce Young, I don't know. You know, I really loved him coming out of college. I thought he was just really tough and, you know,
yeah.
He played hurt and everything. And I think he's almost like a CFL candidate. I mean, I just think he's just too small and not rugged enough.
Yeah, he's very small. The body type is small, and it's not like Kyler Murray, like, strong. And I don't know. Now, I think coaching has a lot to do with it. I think it was forced upon Frank Wright to start his career. And now, you know, I forget who it was talking about it, but like this coach is brought in here to fix him. And within 2 weeks, we're moving on from him. Like, I look a lot of these young quarterbacks. And by the way, this year, the young quarterbacks have really struggled. Like, I was going to take Denver. I'm afraid to take them now because I thought Bo Nix with Peyton could really just figure out a way to make an offense work. And their defense has actually played better than I thought in Denver. And you look at all the young quarterbacks in this league right now, they're really not doing anything. So I don't know if he's a bust yet. I know there's been a lot of talk on whether the Giants should entertain trading for him and giving Brian Daboll a shot. And if you could ever do that and have a young quarterback on a lesser contract, I don't see it. I just don't see it in him.
Yeah, I didn't think that made sense. And, you know, if we go back to that Giant game, and I know that Dano had a pre-existing thing, but
yeah,
it's pretty plausible for a team to go in there with one kicker and, you know, have a guy get hurt and totally throw the game into into chaos, you know? And I don't know, you know, it makes you think that as bizarre as it sounds, is like, say, hey, guys, who could kick an extra point or who can, you know,
yeah, I mean,
kick the chips
up? Yeah, know? Listen, I saw Grant Gano come to the defense of Brian Daboll about the situation. Look, he went in with a groin injury, plain and simple. You knew he was injured. And I don't know. I don't know if the hamstring would have happened anyway. I don't know. But it could have been that. It could have been the groin. He could have hurt himself. They went through the same situation with Gano last year against the Jets. You can't make the same mistake twice. You can't make a mistake that literally could cost you a game. I don't know if it cost them this game. I really don't. It cost them the Jet game. For sure. I don't know if it cost them this game. But You just can't make the same. You can't have a mistake or an incident happen that cost you a game and then not be prepared for the same thing next year. You just can't. Can't. And to your point about other, yeah, I would think, and again, and I think I heard Jerry say this on the warm-up show, and he's right. And I was thinking about it too, like, because Gilliam does, like, attempt the extra point. It's a bad one. They don't go to, back to it. The broadcasters were saying at halftime he was kicking 50-yard field goals or at least made one 50-yard field goal. I would think that a punter would have enough time. And I know a caller yesterday was like, they're two totally different things. Oh, I understand what punting and kicking a field goal are totally two different things. But that doesn't change the fact that the guy works with his leg. He kicks footballs. And how many punts do you need to actually do at practice? That you can't also have time to work on field goals where you can be at least a legitimate backup field goal kicker. Like, how can a punter not have enough time to invest to just become serviceable as a just an extra point guy? Now, I know the extra points move back, but, you know, and maybe if he hit the first extra point, they would have allowed him to kick more, but just a puzzling situation. I mean, one of the many things that make me question this friend, and I'm sorry. Again, I got to have a conversation with Sal. Because how in the world can you think that moving on from Brian Daboll is the worst thing the team can do? Like, how could it set them back further? They're awful. They're awful. And, I mean, the only argument, I suppose, in my mind, is what I've been arguing for Brian Daboll this whole time. You want to give him a young quarterback. I get it. You want to give him a young quarterback. But his GM's the reason why he doesn't have it. They signed him. They signed Daniel Jones. They did it. They didn't. Everyone says you had to, and yeah, they were in a tough spot. You didn't have to. You didn't have to. Life's about choices. They had one. They had one. They chose to pay him $40 million because of what Brian Daboll did with him year one, and it's regressed. And the whole team's regressed. And they're starting another season 0-3, 0-4. I mean, I like continuity too, but it's not just that, you know, how it's been 3 years. You can't be worse. You can't be this bad year three years in. We have seen the NFL is made to be have teams turn around immediately. Like, we see fast turnarounds all the time. What was it? I think there was a stretch of five consecutive seasons. I think it ended last year or 2 years ago, but there was like a stretch of five consecutive seasons where a team went from last to first. At one team in the NFL in some division went from last place to first place.
Well, when Houston
for like 5 years.
Last year?
Yeah, no, but I think I said it broke like 2 years ago, but I think, yeah, last year Houston did do it, I think. But it happens all the time. You can't be in year three and still be this bad. I'm sorry. And the defense stinks too. Like, it's just. And we'll see how this season unfolds. We'll see how this season unfolds. But for the Giants right now, they have a game in front of them that they're going to have to figure out how to run the football and get the ball back to Malik Nabers now that you would think that this defense is going to focus on him. Now, I'm not saying other defenses hadn't, but now you have a legitimate game on tape where Malik Nabers was a major problem. And Daniel Jones threw it to him 18 out of 28 passes. And this was a defense that was all world at home last year. And then defensively, you've got to make Watson uncomfortable, and you have to go after him. And this is a game where Burns and Thibodeau, and Dexter Lawrence for that matter, but Burns and Thibodeau in particular, they have to be more active and more involved in making game-changing plays than they have been. Like, just playing out, they need to get more pressure. I know Burns, if you look at the tape, and I'm tired of this, man. I am tired of look at the tape when it comes to the edge rushers on this team. And this dates back to Carl Banks last year and the discussion about Kayvon Thibodeau. I'm not calling Kayvon Thibodeau a bust, but Kayvon Thibodeau doesn't get home enough. And I know he had double digits, but like, I'm tired of like, well, if you look at the tape on Burns and he had this many wins, blah, blah, sacks, pressures, hits, tackles for loss. That's the impact plays. And they just don't make them. They just don't make them. Not enough. When I look at the great pass rushers, I don't have to look at their stats. I don't have to read between the lines. It's there in my face. They're on top of the quarterback. I don't have to read between the lines when Hutchinson gets four sacks. I don't have to read between the lines on the numbers inside and and the double teams he creates, and so it opens it up. I see sacks. I see him getting off the quarterback and doing dancings. That's what I see. I don't see that with Burns and Thibodeau. I'm tired of having to read between the lines and get deeper into the numbers to try and figure out how my edge rushers are doing. I'm tired of it. Go get him. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back with your phone calls right here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Here we are, born to be kings. We're the princes of the
This song always gets me pumped. Woo! 4:35. We got Giants football on Sunday. We got big pennant race baseball still to be played this weekend. We got a lot going on. And, of course, the Jets last night, the Mets last night. Aaron Rodgers, I guess.
We're the princes of the universe.
I wish I could have seen Freddie Mercury live. That would have been awesome. Rami just told me on the other side that I guess Aaron Rodgers put up "This is 40" with a picture of the game. I guess on his Instagram.
It was a picture of him, you know.
Yeah.
After the win.
And I gotta tell you, I didn't say this yet. He looked good in that black on black suit. He looked good.
I saw somebody say John Wick has arrived.
Yeah, he kind of had that John Wick kind of look. He looks good for his age. He looked comfortable. I mean, the man has gravitas. What can I say? He carries himself in such a way. I would, too, if I was a four-time MVP and I just put that for performance. I mean, there is something about it. I know that, you know, people thought Daniel Jones, there was something about the beard. It's different. It is different when Aaron Rodgers shows up to that press conference in all black like that. After he just, you know, had a funeral for the dominance of the New England Patriots over the New York Jets. That was just, I mean, what a performance. That's as good as he's looked. He said this is 40. That's as good as he's looked since probably the MVP season of 22. Or whichever one. Not the last year with Green Bay. The previous year is MVP season. Right? Last year, 23, 22, 21. Right? That's how good he looked. The way he was able to maneuver around the pocket, his pocket presence, stepping up, running around, throwing on the run, off his back foot. Like, he just did everything.
The last touchdown to Garrett, it almost like he curved the ball towards the outside away from the defender. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, he's an incredible throw of the football. But You figured that. It was after week one you were concerned his mobility. And that was back in full force. He looked great. He looked great. It's one of those, to watch a quarterback play like that when you haven't seen it in forever, when it's literally been the bane of your existence, it's what's held the franchise back for forever. To watch that guy after all the hype, after all the talk, after all the doubters, and after all the hate, for him to finally show up in that building, finish a game, and have it look like that and put a three-touchdown whooping on the New England Patriots, it's just one of those nights where it feels a little bit, because they have to do more, again, one night, but it feels a little bit of that just same old Jets start to fade away, like the rest of Marty McFly's family. That's it. Like it's the picture of the same old Jets, right? It's a picture of last year's team. It's a picture of Zach Wilson slowly fading away. That's what they need. They need it desperately. Maury in Belmore. What's up, Maury? Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro. Slip sliding away. That's what's going on with Atlanta, it seems. It seems like the Mets are on fire, and they look great. Timing is great. last night, as a Giants fan, not jealous, but it was great to see a New York quarterback actually look
it
like
was,
a New York
it,
quarterback.
It was nice to actually see excellent quarterback play. It's been...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's been a long time for either team. You're 100% right. I mean, and let's be honest, even the last year or two of Eli Manning's career, like it's been a long time since
somebody
either team has seen excellent quarterback play.
Looks like a general.
Yep.
Looks like he's in charge.
Yep.
Does not throw the ball away. Runs when he has to. I know everyone was holding their breath when he made that first run to get that first down and he slid. Please don't slide.
He lifts everyone's play around him. Last year without him, Lazard was a bum. Last year, Lazard was a drop pass machine. He couldn't play. People wanted him cut. People were yelling at Aaron Rodgers for being the GM, the de facto GM who brought him in. Now he's got three touchdowns. I mean, he's integral and part of the offense. I mean, the state Hackett's the worst offensive coordinator in the league. He's a bum. He embarrassed himself in Denver. This is who they brought here. What a disaster. Oh, there's no backup plan. And Aaron Rodgers comes in suddenly. I think Hackett did a pretty good job last night. I don't know. You tell me. Like it's completely different. And I just
wouldn't have worked.
No,
with any other quarterback. He knows how to roll. He knows how to get the ball
out.
No
doubt.
It looks great. It's not, unfortunately, he's not a Giant. Here's the other thing with the Yanks.
Yes.
You could celebrate, I think, after last year. They had to celebrate.
No doubt.
How to do it. No complaints here. Just stay focused the next few games. Get the pitchers in the right spot. Let's go. Let's have some fun. Both teams are in the playoffs. I can't think about the Giants right now. All I know is 1 week at a time, my boy Boomer says. And then other than that, Christopher, enjoy the time with the boys. It's going to start getting cold up there. I'm sure the leaves are changing.
Yep.
Hopefully you have a good weekend with them.
Thank you very much.
Like I always say, boys, it's always great to have the boys.
Yep. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's no baseball this week, just soccer. The baseball games got canceled because of Warwick homecoming or whatever. So just early morning soccer, and then I'll have my Saturday. We'll do whatever we want to do. Not going to have to wait around for a baseball game, and then the game itself takes 6 hours. So we have a little bit of a free Saturday, looking forward to it. But, I was just watching a clip posted about, you could see just the general of the offense and how he makes things easy. They showed the clip. It's a run play, Allen in the backfield. He motions Lazard over from out wide on the left. He brings him in right off the tight end to help pick up the backside rush. And he literally puts his hand behind his back like, talking about my sons, my son was in flag football this year, and that's literally what the coach would do. The coach would just point to a direction, and then he would, tell the running back which way he's going, and then they would hand the ball off that way. He puts his hand behind his back and points to Allen to run to the right.
He did it on the winning touchdown last week, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, but it's just when we talk about a general and a guy who, and this is why I didn't want Hackett fired. This is why, despite last year's disaster, I wanted Hackett here, because I want Aaron Rodgers. I want this version of Aaron Rodgers who knows the offense inside and out, who knows he can work with this guy. I wanted him off that Achilles injury as comfortable as possible. That's why, and again, it's one game. It might all fall apart, and this sounds foolish when we look back on it 3-4 weeks from now. But I wanted him to have the head coach he was comfortable with. Even if Robert Saleh has flaws, he wanted Saleh. He wanted Douglas. He clearly wanted Hackett. You got to keep it. This is the Aaron Rodgers show. And the last thing I want coming off an Achilles injury is worried about anything else than staying healthy and looking as spry as he did last night. I don't want him learning a new offense and learning new. And I'm sure he could pick it up. He's a world-class veteran and a four-time MVP. I'm not saying he wouldn't be able to pick up a new offense or deal with a new offensive coordinator. But I just don't even want him changing the verbiage. I want him completely immersed in this offense to the point where it's like, hey, come over here because I know I'm going to need you to block that guy here. You run this way. That's the way it's set up. Like, boom, I know exactly what I'm doing. That's what they needed. That's what they haven't had. Well, Zach Wilson had no idea what he was doing. Was he capable of making a throw to an open receiver? Sometimes. But, like, he had no idea what he was doing. He had no command of the offense. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Chris, now you're checking out Aaron Rodgers in a black suit. Come on, man.
Yes. Oh, yeah, he looked good. He looked good in that post game. Yeah. He looked good in that postgame,
man. It's been 14 years for the Jets with a quarterback making it to playoffs, and it's been only two seasons. You know, we have a short memory from Giants,
that's
so
true.
I'll take that.
You definitely had two seasons ago a running back leading them to the playoffs. Go ahead, what'd you say?
Yeah, they won three games without Saquon that year. Interesting point when you were talking about you having to stream to get some of the playoff games. It reminds me, my brother-in-law, you know, he streams everything, doesn't get football. So, like, once a year, there'll be some event that brings you over there, and you got to find a way, you know? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask you, I know there's probably a percentage of the audience out there, fanatics like we are. What have you missed in your lifetime? I missed a wedding in 2008, friend's wedding. I wasn't in the wedding party, but I missed a wedding on the playoff run. Like, what have you missed over the Yankees, Giants? Where's your breaking point? The cutoff of an event that you won't that you'll miss because of a sporting event?
I'm trying to think. I was in a I think it was week three. I forget which year, 2011, week two or three, they were playing Buffalo, the Giants. And I was in my buddy's wedding, and oddly enough, it's the wedding I met my wife, so I'm glad I decided to go to the wedding. But I missed that Giant game. It was early in the season. It was October of 2011. I think it was like week two or three. Thankfully, I don't think I've had to miss much. I really don't. I can't think of anything.
For a Yankee, what would it take?
Yankees play 162. It would have to be like a World Series game or an ALC. Yeah, a playoff game I would miss. I would miss a lot. I would miss a lot. I mean, I miss a lot of family stuff too.
Yeah,
but
it never happened in your life because I know you're a diehard. I just find it hard to believe you never had that come up in all your years with the Yankees or anything. You know, even the Giants or
I don't remember anything.
It comes up where somebody had no. Nothing.
It's probably happened, but nothing of significance. I don't believe I've missed a buddy's wedding or someone's wedding. I don't think I've missed. Like a real big landmark birthday party or anything. I can't think of it. I'm sure I've missed, you know, I've definitely missed certain things, you know, parties or maybe a birthday party, but nothing crazy. No, I can't think of anything where I was like, where my wife was mad at me that I missed it or I upset someone or you know, ruined a relationship or anything. No.
But the last thing, because you're doing this for a living, like, so how does it work on the weekends? Your whole, because you got the kids, you know, I got little kids too. You say flag football,
yeah,
you know, Ryan's coaching flag football teams and all that. Like,
yes.
How does that work? How do you budget the time on the weekend? And I don't even know, do you even watch college football? And the, like,
no.
How are you supposed? I don't even do what you do,
yeah.
and I have to make it work,
yeah,
with sports week in, week out. My wife checks in. Okay, what are we doing? We got this with the kids.
Right.
I mean, what football games are you watching? Like, Chris, how do you balance it, man?
Yeah, well, thank you. Brent in Long Island, just trying to...
That's not what he called about.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised. I thought he was going to get on me for picking the Giants.
Yes.
Because I said I wouldn't anymore, and I still did. I went back on my word. But he wants to know how the inner workings of my life go. I do watch. You're a fraud. You never said that. You said you didn't watch it because of the family. I've said this before, and it's true. I watch some college football. I can't tell my family and my wife, sorry, I have Sundays occupied with NFL, and then Saturdays, sorry, I can't go anywhere. I got to watch college football. Like, I can't. It's not what I want to do. It's not fair to my family. I can't just say, sorry, Saturdays are off limits too in the fall, you know. Summertime is ours, honey, but, you know, weekends from Weekends from September to February are all in front of the couch. Like, I can't. So I watch the big games. I watch night games. I'll watch, you know, games on a Thursday night or a Wednesday night or whatever, Friday night. I'll watch college football here and there, big games, bigger matchups. But no, I'm not watching a ton of college football, and certainly not on Saturday afternoons. I do have the kids and stuff. Big games, we'll find out. This is only the second year, and last year there were no Yankee playoff games. So it's the only year where I've had this, you know, schedule as a full-time host and nights and whatever, and the kids old enough to really get into it. But yeah, I think my wife is going to have to understand if I have a fall baseball game, like if the Yankees have a 3 o'clock, 3:30 playoff start, and my son has a 3:30 baseball game, yeah, I'm probably not going to the baseball game. I don't know. Or I'll do what I normally do and DVR it and just watch the baseball game in a corner wearing earmuffs, and anyone who approaches me just going, "Hey, I'll go away." Like, literally, I don't want to talk to you about anything. I'll just walk away from everybody. Like, maybe. Because I am pretty good. I've mastered it. I have to admit, most people struggle with it. I am very good at pretending what I'm watching is happening right now. I really have mastered it. I can absolutely watch something and pretend like it's live. I try not to fast forward. I only fast forward through the commercials. I'm able to trick my brain that I'm watching it right now. So there is a chance, depending on it, that I would go do something, a game for my kids or whatever, and then watch it on DVR no matter how late it is and just pretend like it's live. I'm pretty good at tricking myself. What I found out is I'm stupid and I'm easily fooled, and I can even fool myself. 888-808-1019. Quick break, come back. Rapid fire styles. We get through all the calls here lined up in a pretty little row till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. McMonagle here with you on The Fan.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, real quick, 4:55. Let's get through as many calls as possible. Running late here. Warm-up show coming up your way. Danny and Belrose, what's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. What's going on?
Good morning. What's up?
I'm pretty good. I like Cole, Ladone, and Gill. Honestly, I think 2 out of 3 is great, but it would be very sweet to take a sweep in Oakland. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, listen, a sweep is always better than 2 out of 3. I think we agree on that. I want to win this division as quickly as possible. That's what I want. I want to win this division as quickly as possible. I want the one seed, not for home field advantage as much as I have to admit. As much as I talk about still wanting, deep down, still wanting to take down the Astros, I still feel that way. I want that series in many ways. I want to win the World Series first and foremost. So do I want the easiest path there? Sure. But part of me wants that revenge. And if we get it, I will relish it. If we get the opportunity, I will relish it. But I'd rather have them in a longer series than a short series because they have two lefties that could throw 4 times and the Yankees don't hit lefties. So being the one seed avoids the Astros until the ALCS. And that's why I want the one seed. So I just want to win as many games as possible. Rocco and Saratoga, we're being quick. Rocco, what's up?
Yes, you look marvelous. The Jets look marvelous. The Mets look marvelous. The Yankees look marvelous. The Giants. Not so much.
And it is better to look good than to feel good. Everybody knows that. Bernadette in Oceanside. What's up, Bernadette?
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I have to correct myself from the other day when I said that we had irrelevant, except for maybe the Yankees making the playoffs when they did not make the playoffs last year.
No.
And I remember being so miserable.
Sure.
And we had nothing to talk about. And look at us today.
Look at us
we
now.
We are chatting away.
Look at us now.
Except for the Giants. I wish Aaron Rodgers was wearing a blue shirt.
So do I.
I'm happy. I'm very happy for the Jets fans because I know they waited forever and a day
to get their victory. Yeah, you're right, Bernadette. And thank you for the call. For what happened last night, to beat the Patriots like that, watching quarterback play like that, watching offense like that, I mean, it's been forever. It's been a long time. I mean, they've had games where they put up some points. Mike White scored some points. It's not like it's never happened. But knowing who he is, how he played, how he's capable of running that offense, and you know everything that went into it, and just dominating the Patriots like that, Again, 400 yards of offense, 40-minute time of possession. That's, you know, 20 minutes. New England only had the ball for 20 minutes. They had twice. They had 27 first downs. And that's just offensively. 7 sacks, 0 touchdowns. Like, it's just a dominating performance. And you got the quarterback play finally after years waiting for this. Literally a year and a half waiting. Never getting it last year, another failed season. Getting it now in your building in that moment last night was jet euphoria. Jason in Warwick. What's up, Jason? Real quick.
What up, my man?
What's up?
What's your gut feeling on the World Series for the Yanks? We're not going to jinx it or anything.
No, my gut feeling is, and thank you for the call and calling from God's country in Warwick. Of course I think the Yankees are going to win the World Series. Same thing I always do, Pinky. I think they're going to win the World Series. I do. I'm nuts. But we'll see. They have competition. I do think they're the best team in the American League, bar none. I do. That doesn't mean they'll get to the World Series, but they should. There's no excuse not to. As long as, obviously, Soto's healthy, there's no reason not to get back to the World Series. Once they get there, the National League's pretty good. All right, Rami, thank you. Thank you guys all for calling. Enjoy the football. The warm-up show is next. Enjoy your weekend. I'll catch you Monday. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.